Here in Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 7, the Bible teaches us that we have been created for God's glory. All of creation is to bring glory to Almighty God. That is the purpose of creation, to direct your thoughts, my attention, your attention to the Creator. We've been created for God's glory. The word glory, or to glorify, means to shine upon, to focus upon, to make center stage in a literal sense. So all of God's creation is to glorify our Creator, to direct our lives to the one that has made us, the one who has created us for His glory. And God reminds His people there in the book of Isaiah that I've called you, I've created you to bring glory to my name. I'd like for you to turn back to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 this morning. Last Sunday morning we began to look at verse number 1. This is the most important verse in the Bible, simply because it is the first verse in the Bible. And it reads here in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." This verse is a summary of God's creation. And it tells us, in essence, that all that you see on a physical level is the creation of God. God has created all things. Now, last Sunday morning, we noted the little phrase there, "in the beginning." This is a reference to the fact that God has brought time into existence. Before time, there was and there continues to be the eternal realm. So where it reads there, verse number 1, "in the beginning," it's in reference to the beginning of physical time as we know it today. And we drew the application last Sunday morning that time equates to purpose. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible teaches us the purpose of time is for God to fulfill His purpose. So with the time that God has given to you, God has a purpose in mind. God is purposeful within the time He has created. In the time that you and I have, God is purposeful. And God has an end in view for you and for me. And also note there in verse number 1, the first mention of God's name. In the beginning, God. Our personal God. Now verse number 1 could have read, "In the beginning, heaven and earth was created." Could have read that way. And there'd be nothing wrong with that in itself. In the beginning, heaven and earth was created. But rightfully, the verse reads, "In the beginning, God created." There's a reason for that. Because our God is an ever-present personal God. And it's important that we bear in mind that creation is to bring glory to God, a personal God, a God in whom is present in this world and at work. And when the life of that individual that has received Jesus Christ as their Savior, he lives within in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see from the mention of God here, verse number 1, not only do we see within this verse that God has purpose in the time that He has created, the time that He gives you and I, but the God of creation is a personal God. And He desires, my friend, to have a personal relationship with you. And you can experience that by simply placing your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And as we move on in verse number 1, note the word "created." In the beginning, God created. God alone, without the help of any evolutionary process, the Bible teaches us that God created all things. In the beginning, God created. He created all things. He created all things out of nothing. And that is affirmed within the Holy Scriptures with verses such as Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3, the Bible reads, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God created all things out of nothing, ex nihilo, in other words, out of nothing. And here in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the context makes that very clear. And this fact that God has created all things out of nothing affirms the fact that God is the all-powerful God. So if God is all-powerful, He can make something out of nothing. For many years I've taught scripture within the high schools, and in teaching the fact that God is the creator of all things, I often like to use the illustration of a school desk, a boring old student's desk in a public high school. And they seem to like that illustration, and I like to say to the teenagers within my high school classes, evolution would tell us that this non-living matter, which has no life in itself, this desk that you cannot offend, won't react at you, it is non-living matter. Evolution would like us to believe that over a period of so many millions or so many years, that this non-living matter became living matter. And 9 times out of 10, the students laugh and say, "Sir, that's ridiculous." And I stress the point, yes, it is ridiculous. Evolution is a ridiculous theory. How non-living matter can eventually become living matter. My Bible tells me that God is the all-powerful God, and God has created all things. The eternal God has created time, matter, and space. God is the creator of all things. In the beginning, God created. And the fact that God created out of nothing reminds us of the fact that God is the all-powerful God. And His power is evident in creation. Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Reads, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." Note this next little phrase. "Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God's power is evident within creation. No one can create anything greater than themselves. God is the creator of all things. And when God said to Job there in Job chapter 40, in Job chapter 41, "Take a few moments, Job, and look at Behemoth, the dinosaur. Take a few moments, Job, and look at Leviathan, the fire-breathing dragon. These point to the fact that I am all-powerful. I am the all-powerful God." So God's creation gives evidence of His power. He is the all-powerful God. And by denying a literal creation of all things, then you and I are belittling the fact that God is all-powerful. See, God doesn't need evolution or theories like evolution to justify what we see around us. If he is the all-powerful God, he is the all-powerful God. He can speak the world into existence. God is able. God is powerful to perform the supernatural. And Abraham was told by God. Now initially God said to Abraham and to Sarah, you're going to have a child. But the problem was that Sarah was 90 years of age. And the Bible teaches us that she had a good laugh. And rightfully so, you would. If somebody said to you, well, you can conceive and have a child at the age of 90. But the difference was that God said it. If you or I said it to one another, then it's laughable. That's laughable. But I would say to a 90-year-old woman in a nursing home, you can have a child at the age of 90, you deserve a good laugh. But God said this to Abraham and to Sarah. And God confronted Abraham and said, Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? God held Abraham responsible for the fact that his wife laughed at the fact that the God of the impossible can perform the impossible. And in the beginning, God created out of nothing. He is the all-powerful God. But why do we so often belittle God's power by questioning his workings within our lives? And why is it that we so often doubt what God is doing in our lives? When the God of the impossible, the God of eternity, the all-powerful God spoke the world into existence, we that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have a relationship with the all-powerful God. And yet we doubt, we question what God is doing. And we find ourselves in difficult situations and we're wondering, how is life going to work out? How is there ever going to be a solution to the problem in my life? But may I remind you this morning that God is all-powerful. And God can perform the impossible. No matter what it is. If God can speak the world into existence, surely he can meet your need and my need. He is the all-powerful God. Our personal, purposeful God is all-powerful. As we read on in verse number 1, the Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning of what time as we know it today, God, personal God, created. Creation gives evidence of his power and Godhead. God created the heaven and the earth. Now this little phrase here, the heaven and the earth, is in reference to the fact that God has created all things. It's a summary of all that he has created. So all that we see in the earth and all that we see with a naked eye leading into space itself is the evidence of God's creation. That's important that we bear in mind this little phrase that God created the heaven and the earth is in reference to the physical realm. It's in reference to the fact that God brought time into existence, God brought matter into existence, God brought space into existence. So he's referring to the physical realm, time, matter, space, atmosphere, and beyond. This is not referring to the eternal spiritual realm. God did not begin here. God was already there. God is eternal. He is beyond time. So eternity has always been, eternity will continue, but we within this, within eternity have a block of what we know of as physical time. And God gives you and I a guarantee of approximately 70 years. And then we will move back into the eternal realm. See? So the creation of the heaven and the earth is in reference to the physical world. It's not referring to the eternal realm. It's not referring to God himself. And it's not referring to the habitation of God where his throne is. It's in reference to that which we see physically. Now the million-dollar question is, and people often ask this question and get themselves in a bit of a muddle because they dwell too much upon this question, well, then when did God create the angels? But you've got to bear in mind that Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, is not in reference to the spiritual world. We know that angels are created beings. And it's my understanding that what God is referring to here is not answering the question, where and when were angels created? We know they were created, but when were they created? Well, God doesn't tell us. But he will tell us in glory. And if God wanted us to know, then he would tell us. But the point I'm trying to make is this, not to chase a golden rabbit, but to simply make the point that God created the heaven and the earth, and this is in reference to the physical world. It's not referring to the eternal realm. It's not the beginning of eternity as such. It's not the beginning of God. It's not the beginning of his throne. That is eternal. This is in reference to the physical. The lower, the visible heavens, our atmosphere, space, God created. All that is in the earth, God created. So we see from verse number 1, the heaven and the earth, that once again God confirms his dominion and possession over all creation. He takes credit for all that has been created within the earth and heaven. The word heaven here is translated the lofty place, that which is above us, our atmosphere, space, where God will place countless stars and planets. The word earth means that which is firm, the earth, the world, planet earth. This is where God begins. So this is a summary of all of God's creation, that God in the beginning of time, God created the heaven and the earth. And if God is our creator, then we are his possession, are we not? We are accountable to him. Let me tell you why people often adamantly deny God's existence. Because they simply do not want to be accountable for their actions. Because if there is a creator, then I am the produce of his design. I am accountable. See? So if God is our creator, then we are his possession. We are accountable to him. He owns me, therefore he can tell me how to live. May I submit to you, my friend, that God is our creator. We are his possession. He has dominion over my life, he has dominion over your life, and rightfully God can tell us how to live. In fact, he does tell us how to live in the Bible, the Word of God. Because we belong to the Creator. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible teaches us that we have been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ provides the cleansing, provides that forgiveness from sin. And my friend, if you have personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not your own. You belong to your Master, Jesus Christ, who is also your Creator. And because he is our Master, he is our Creator, then we have no right of our own. But we have the privilege to obey the Creator and honor him. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. A summary of all that God has created. Reminding us of the fact that he has dominion. If he is creator, if he is sustainer, then he has a right to my life. He can tell me how to live.
And in fact, if I live His way, I'll be far happier. Be satisfied. So let's encourage you this morning by the fact, initially, that God is all-powerful. He spoke the world into existence. And no matter what struggle, no matter what trial you are going through, let me remind you that God that spoke the world into existence is bigger than that problem. And God can do something supernatural in your life. But also I'd like for you to bear in mind this morning, my friend, that God, if He is Creator, then all of His creation belongs to Him. The Bible teaches us that we are created in the image of God. I was not created in the image of a monkey. No. That's nonsense. Last time I went to the zoo, I had a good look at the chimpanzees. Oh, dreadful behavior. Disrespectful. And what they were doing one with another was embarrassing. And to think that some would say, that's our ancestors. That's ridiculous. I am not related to a chimpanzee. I am be made in the image of God. So if God is my creator, then I am accountable to Him. Let's move on to verse number 2. Verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 1 begins with the word and. Now, you'll note the word and within this chapter some 29 times. Just have a quick look at it. There are 31 verses in chapter 1. Are you still with me this morning? There are 31 verses in chapter 1. 29 of those verses begin with and. The only exception is verse number 1, which is a summary statement that God is the creator of all things. And verse number 27, which is an extension of verse number 26. Outside of that, you will read and 29 times. Why? Because verses 2 to verses 31 is simply a detailed outflow of God's specific creation. So it's like verse number 1 is a summary. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And by the usage of the word and, He said, this is another detail, this is another detail, this is another detail, this is another detail. So verse 1 is a summary. The following verses unveil the details of God's creative act in 6 days. And that is evident by the usage of the word and. Let's note here in verses 2 to 5, please, what God creates on day 1. So verse number 1 teaches us that God created everything. God is responsible for all of creation. From verses 2 onward, God gives us the details of that creation week. Verses 2 to 5, please. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse number 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So the Bible teaches us here in verse number 2 concerning what took place on day number 1. was that when God originally created the earth, it had no form and no void. Notice the word form and void there in verse number 1. The word form is in reference to shape. The earth had no shape. And the word void means to be empty. The earth was empty. So when God created the earth, originally it was unformed and it was without habitation when it was first created. Just like a potter takes a lump of clay and places it on the potter's wheel. And from that point on, he begins to shape at his will. That's what God did. And note also there in verse number 2 that the earth was not only without shape, it was empty. There was no habitation in the earth, upon the earth at this point of God creating the earth. But also note there was darkness upon the face of the deep. Originally when God created the earth, there was an absence of light initially when God created the earth and heaven. And it's out of this original darkness that God created a earth that can be inhabited and enjoyed by mankind. But also it's interesting there in verse number 2, that the Bible goes on to read that darkness was upon the face of the deep and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It would seem when you compare scripture with scripture that originally when God created the earth was submerged in water. And there was darkness over the earth. No shape, no form. It was void. So the earth was submerged with water and there was darkness. This is God's original creation of the earth. The earth was covered in water originally. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, please, verse number 5. Just to affirm this very fact. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 5. Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So this verse affirms the fact that when God originally created the earth, it had no form. It was empty, it was submerged in water, it was covered in water, and darkness covered the face of the earth, the heavenlies. And then the end of verse number 2, the Bible reads that the Spirit of God moved. God the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. And the Spirit of God moved. The word moved means to vibrate. To make movement. The Spirit of God moves over the face of the earth, covered by water and covered by darkness. So this is the first mention, obviously, to the work of the Spirit of God, that God is a Spirit. And God the Father was involved in creation, and we read in John chapter 1, verse number 3, that God the Son was also involved in creation. In the beginning, God, Elohim, plural masculine God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in creation. And here in verse number 2, we see the work of the Holy Spirit beginning to work and beginning to put the details upon the earth, and will continue to put the details of the heavenlies that God creates. So God the Holy Spirit is mentioned here. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit was also involved in initial creation. So when God created the earth on day number one and had no form, it was void and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the earth was underwater, submerged, that the Spirit of God began to move. And why is there a reference to the Spirit? Well, the Spirit is the Spirit of life. It's the Holy Spirit who gives life. The Lord Jesus said to a religious man by the name of Nicodemus that you need to be born again by the Spirit of God. A person does not enter God's glory, a person does not possess eternal life by living a religious life. A person needs to be born from above, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And when a person acknowledges their need of a Savior because they recognize that they are a sinner and they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, and they repent of their sin and they by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are born again by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit imparts life. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And John chapter 3, verse number 8, the Lord Jesus said, you need to be born of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives life. The Spirit of God is life-giving. And that's why it's no coincidence the Spirit of God is mentioned here in verse number 2. When you compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll see that creation is accredited to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The same blessed Holy Spirit that has given life and has given us the Word of God was also involved in creation. And as he guided and led holy men of old, as it reads there in 2 Peter chapter 1, to document, to record the Word of God, it's within the Word of God that God the Holy Spirit, who was involved in creation, was involved in guiding these men of old to record for you and I the question concerning the issue of origins. And very simply put, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. See, evolution is a theory. It is not true science. For something to be provable, science, it must be provable in the present. You can't prove evolution. It's a theory. Now, the Bible is scientifically accurate. But it is not a science book. It is the revelation of God. It's God's revelation to mankind, teaching us concerning our eternal God and that He is the creator of all things. And God, who is eternal, was there at creation. And He has inscribed for us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the blessed Holy Spirit was actively involved in that. God the Holy Spirit is life-giving. He not only gives life, but He also gives eternal life, but also the blessed Holy Spirit, as we meditate upon Christ in the Scriptures, can transform your life and my life into the image of Jesus Christ. And note that in verse number 3, the Bible goes on to read, and God said, let there be light. And of course, there was light because God's all powerful. So God spoke light into existence. Now this is not the light of the sun and moon. They're created on day number four. But we see within this verse the power of the spoken word of God. God said, and it happened. In fact, this little phrase, God said, God said, God said, is found 10 times within chapter 1. He spoke with unlimited power and authority, and it was done. So God brings light into existence. The earth was submerged in water. The earth was covered with darkness. And the Bible teaches us God created the earth initially. And here we read that God brings light into existence. And note then verse number 4, God saw the light and it was good. Now that little phrase, it was good, is found 6 times in chapter 1 of Genesis. But then at the end of Genesis chapter 1, you'll read once, it was very good. So 6 times it reads, it was good, it was good, it was good. And then, it was very good. Verse number 31. And the word good means it was a benefit. Beneficial. See, all that God does is beneficial. God is purposeful, my friend. All that God does is of some benefit. So you and I can trust God with our lives because he doeth all things well. He is a good God. Now it might not seem like that at times, and you might be questioning the goodness of God right now, but I can assure you that Romans chapter 8 verses 28 and 29 is still in the Bible. And it tells us that all things work together for good. For them that love God. And God is working things out for our benefit, for our good. Oh, but Pastor, I just don't feel that that's the case. Well, put your feelings aside and believe God. That all things do work together for good. And God can bring some good out of your life. And God can bring some good out of what he's allowing in your life right now. He's the God of light. And note then verse number 4, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God did not remove darkness altogether. And may I say at no extra charge that God will not remove darkness out of your life. But God is light. And even though there are times that you and I will go through periods of darkness, rest assured the God of light is right there. See? But many have this subconscious, charismatic mentality that if you're a Christian, everything will be okay, everything will be wonderful, I'll be wealthy, healthy, and wise. That is not true. When God called light into existence, there was still darkness. Why? Because we need to live by faith. And we need to trust the fact that God is the God of light. And even though there is still darkness, he is the God of light. God divided the light from the darkness, the Bible teaches us in verses 4 and leading into verse 5. Verse 5 reads, and God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So God divided the light from the darkness. Light he called day. This is called day. Why is this called day? Because God called it day. And we call it day. And why do we call darkness night? Because God called it night and we call it night. So here we have the establishment of a specific time frame, morning and evening, a 24-hour period. And note that little phrase at the end of verse 5, and the evening and the morning were the first day. First 24-hour day. And within this first 24-hour day, God chose. Now, God did not need 24 hours to create the earth. Without form and void and darkness, submerge it, and then to create light, to call light day, to call darkness night. God did not need the 24 hours. He spoke, it was done. But God, in His infinite wisdom, worked according to time. And He worked within a framework of 24 hours. Because God is God. We'll say more about that in the time to come. The Lord Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. In John chapter 8, please, verse number 12, I'll close with this. John chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, in closing, my friend, when God created light, he did not remove darkness fully. But he put a boundary on darkness. And said, this will be darkness, we'll call this night. But here is light. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Is the Lord Jesus your light? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And my friend, this morning, I'd like to encourage you to come to the light of life, Jesus Christ. And walk with Him, and He will gently guide you and lead you through those periods of darkness. Because He is light. He is life. So on day number one, God creates the earth. Though without form, though empty, though submerged in water, and darkness covered the earth, but by the end of day number one, God brings light into existence. He is the light of life. And my friend, no matter what you are going through right now, I can encourage you by the fact that all that God does is good. It's very good. And I wish that God's people would just believe that. Let's choose to believe that. That God is good to us. And no matter the darkness you're experiencing right now, light is only around the corner. Don't dwell in the darkness, follow the light of Christ. And see what God has for you. I believe it'll be something very special. Lord willing, tonight we'll look at day number 2, 3, 4, and 5, and we'll tap into day number 6. We'll move very quickly this evening. Rest assured. But just for now, God is all powerful. God possesses all. And God is the God of light. So no matter the darkness that you're going through right now, God is the God of light. And God can bring some good out of it. Let's believe Him. Let's stop standing, please.